Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Adulting with Ebony. In today's episode, I am joined by Johan Verstey, who helps individuals and families to recover from phone and social media addiction. Having struggled himself, his focus is not just on abstinence or helping people to stop liking and posting their lives away, but on using their screens mindfully and helping them become a better version of themselves in the process. Hey, Johan.
Hi, Ebony. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the show. This is a topic that comes up a lot with my clients. You know, inside my community space, we talk about it at least once a month of like, damn it, I found myself in this hole again where I'm like scrolling before going to bed. And like, we all know better, but we all fall into this hole. So I'm excited for this conversation.
Excellent. Yeah, let's dive in. I'm excited as well. Yep.
The question I start with everyone is, what does adulting mean to you?
What does adulting mean to me? I think what it means to me is to be more conscious of your mortality, essentially. Mm. I think, you know, when you're young, when you're a teenager, you think you will live 500 years. You don't really think about the future. You just think about the moment. And, you know, initially we are used to birthday parties. We're used to going out, like positive events. And then we have marriages. And then we have baby showers. Then we have birthday parties of our children. And then we experience funerals, and then more funerals and more funerals. So I think the older we become, the more we automatically become conscious of our mortality. And I think the more conscious we become of our mortality, the more we learn to see life from a macro level. Mm. So basically, then you realize what matters and what doesn't matter. You don't really bother about the petty things, but about fundamental aspects that really define your life. Like the things you can't pay for, like relationships, your connections, your passion, your growth, your development. So I think you are more able to use the wise mind to operate from both a combination of emotion and rationality, you know, so they're kind of infused. So you have more control and you have a clear vision of where you want to go. I think maturity as well is that feeling of giving, that's more... it's just more fulfilling than receiving. I think when you've experienced that, then you start to become an adult. It's not all about me anymore. It's about helping others. And that's why I always say, if you feel helpless, be helpful, because I think that's where greatness lies. I think that's where true growth lies. That realization that it's not about you, but it's about us, the world, unity. So, yeah.
I love that. And I love particularly the piece around like, beginning to see through that lens what really matters and what's really important. I think if we take this into your kind of realm of work that you're doing, you know, when we are younger, we look into our phones and social media and we're seeking approval, right? And we kind of looking, thinking everyone else has got it figured out. Everyone else knows what they're doing. And somewhere in this device are my answers. And at least in my experience, there reaches a point where you're like, you know what? The answers are not in here. The answers are out there, like out in the world, out in real, messy, raw relationships that don't fit into a square or don't, you know, whatever it is. Has that been your experience of kind of shifting into turning the phone off to really feel?
Yeah, I think it broke up a little bit. What was the last part?
Just wondered whether that was your experience in terms of like the shift of maturity in terms of your relationship with your social media and with your phone and with your like, it was for me at the beginning, it was like looking out and wanting answers. And now I make sure I follow people who inspire me, right? But I'm not looking at them for approval. I'm looking at them for inspiration.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me as well, I used social media a lot 10 years ago, my mm-hmm. smartphone a lot. I actually used the very first Android smartphone. Mm-hmm. And it was novelty. So everyone was looking at me, I could show off. And it was so easy to use Facebook with a smartphone. But when I started to date, I had a Brazilian girlfriend and she was crazy about Facebook. And that made me use Facebook even more extreme, in a more extreme way. And we were constantly posting. And we were like, she was demanding a lot of posts from me. Or like, where's my Barry White song? Where's my Celine Dion song? Where's my quotes? People should know it, you know, that my love doesn't come from me, but also from you. So we really had to impress other people. And in the beginning, I was like, yeah, okay, I will do that. I will go along. But I always have this voice in my mind that always repeats the mantra that I use since I was like 15 years old that says, I don't want to die stupid. So because I always tell myself, I don't want to die stupid, meaning I should always be looking for the uncomfortable zone. But by posting all the time, I was not really producing. Like I was producing posts, but they're not valuable. I wanted to produce, to build, to create. And it just hit me that we're just making Mark Zuckerberg a rich man, his organization, his team, they become successful. And what about us? What about me? Why do we think this is so important? So one day we were walking on the beach, me and my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, and she was drawing this heart on the sand. And then she asked me, can you please kneel? And she was drawing, she drew like a beautiful heart with Johann Loves Fernanda. So I kneeled and she took the photo. And then later on, she posted a photo and she said as well, look at what my boyfriend made me. He's so romantic, he's so fantastic. So from that moment on, we started to lie. And I participated as well in those lies, but then just this voice became stronger that's saying, you should be doing something else. This is wrong. You are just wasting your time. You're losing yourself. And it was not even so much that compare and despair mode that I was in. Mm-hmm. It was more that frustration of, yeah, she wants all these posts and I want to produce. I want to do something else. And then she's hindering me from producing, from growing. Mm-hmm. So eventually I broke up with her. That was one of the main reasons. But then I really started to use Facebook for business purposes. So I created a fan page and never really used it for personal reasons for 3 years. And that was actually the last time I was really using Facebook constantly. So I use Twitter now, Instagram, Facebook sometimes, but with intention. Mm-hmm. So that was a long time ago, 10 years ago. And people were not really talking about screen addiction, phone addiction, Facebook addiction. It was actually a good thing. Facebook media back then, it was new. People appreciated it. It was used a lot with the Arab Spring. Mm-hmm. That regimes were overthrown. So people were like celebrating social media that created awareness. But now it's different. So in 2018, I heard more people talking about screen addiction, phone addiction, excessive screen time, problematic use. So then I thought, you know, okay, let me start socialmediabreakup.com. I started the business. So before the pandemic, now a lot of people are talking about it. But before the pandemic, I already realized, okay, this topic is exploding essentially. But yeah, for me, it wasn't necessarily the compare and despair that I was losing myself. But I totally understand that feeling of, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Look at all these people who post this and that. They look so happy. I know that feeling. And I sometimes still have it. I think it's inevitable.
But I think that other piece that you're talking about in terms of like, oh, will this look good on camera? Or like the lack of integrity, right? The lack of integrity of her designing how she wants it to look and then saying that it was you, like that's the piece. And you know, that's an example of it. But so many of us do that. And I see so many people doing it in their business, right? Like presenting, you know, borrowing a house or someone else's place or, you know, and not necessarily lying, but making it look as though this is our, like, this is my reality day to day. And one of the things that I am really passionate about, and those of you who follow me on social media will see, is like, I very much show up with messy hair and first thing in the morning and like swearing and like I really try and keep it real because I don't think for me it's not cool and it's not adult to be only showing one side, one reality, because we are all these three-dimensional messy human beings and that's where the connection is, that's where we make real relationships, right?
Well said. Exactly. It's the highlight reels that we see. That's why it was funny that people were actually asking me, hey, so how are you two doing? And I said, well, we broke up months ago. And then people are like, what, really? Like, you don't even tell us? Like, we need closure as well. We were following you guys like since the beginning and you just broke up, not even telling us. So it's just clear that it's only the highlight reels that we see.
Mm.
Yeah, it's inevitable that we compare and despair. And yeah, that makes us feel bad about ourselves because we just focus on the lack. So even if you have a lot, just by looking at other people's newsfeeds, you just see what you could have. And then you think that's important to have just because they have it. And then you lose sight of what is important and what you actually want in life. Yeah. So then you're going, yeah.
Have you seen any difference between the use of social media in women and this use in men? Because there's this kind of phenomenon of Instagram husbands, right? And like essentially what you're just explaining or describing in that particular scenario was way before it was a thing, but right, like this phenomenon of Instagram husbands, of women trying to look even more perfect or aspirational, having a certain life, and then getting, yeah, you know, these poor men running around behind, like telling them which angles, standing on chairs, like making it look good. And so I wonder if you're speaking to lots of people around this topic, is there a difference between how men and women are relating to social media?
Initially, it was a lot of women who were just focusing on that fitspiration that's now happening. But you see a lot of men more are now also becoming more metro, or they're very focused on how they look like, their body. And initially it was women, but you see more men are becoming like insecure about how they look like, especially because women are now more independent, they're stronger, they have more confidence now. And that means men, they feel sometimes they are left behind. Like, okay, what do I have to contribute to a relationship? So you feel that both women and men, they are losing self-confidence. But men, they tend to game more.
Mm-hmm.
You see that women really focus more on social media and men more on the gaming.
I wondered whether that was true, whether it's just my perception. And I'm not into TikTok, but I have friends who constantly posting, like there seems to be this kind of phenomenon of men on TikTok, like really enjoying certain aspects of it, right? And playing around with a like reveal and the before and after. And so I just, yeah, I wondered whether there's any correlation or any patterns that you see in your work, really.
Yeah, well, I see it is increasing. It is getting worse. Yeah, from both sides. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it's that there isn't any difference, right? Like sometimes I think it's unfair to divide us by gender or by sexuality, because I don't think often there isn't anything. You know, we're all as bad as each other in terms of checking first thing in the morning to see whether we have any likes on our posts, or scrolling mindlessly at night, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Exactly. We all deal with the same challenges at the end of the day. Insecurities, depression, that we feel alone. We all deal with these ways of these problems. And then all of us try to cope by escaping.
Mm-hmm.
Devices is a perfect way to escape. Going on social media is a perfect way to escape. Not even just escape, just for you to feel good about yourself based on what you post. So because now we want to feel good. So we post something, and then when people say something positive, we're like, yeah, you see, I am good. My hair does look good. I do look good. But when someone says something negative, then you're going to believe that as well. Because if you're going to believe the good, you're going to believe the bad. And that's the problem. So yeah. I always say, never as good as they say you are, never as bad as they say you are.
It's so true. And I think, you know, the other thing that I see, and I wonder your take on this, is filters, right? Like I know that we forget that we filtered our face. And then we start to see ourselves like that. We think that we look like that all of the time. And we then have like time harp and various other things showing us of our memories from a year ago, and we forget that we put 18 filters on something, and we're like, why don't I look like that anymore? You never looked like that in the first place. Yeah.
True. That happens. Exactly. And then people want to do like surgery.
Yeah,
the surgeries that are happening now is increasing because we want to look better, just because we believe that what you see on Instagram, that's how everyone looks like. Because you surround yourself by all these people, like those images, and you think, okay, the whole world is looking like that, so I should also look like that. So people, they care a lot about it. And these filters are very dangerous, yeah.
They are. And then I guess I want to touch in, like, it has that, but they're also fun, and they're also, it's a great way to connect, and there's all these other sides. And you're talking work around becoming a better version of yourself in the process of being more mindful about how you use these devices and how you show up in that way. And I think, I wonder whether there's any kind of tips or anything that you suggest people can begin to be mindful of in order to become better versions of themselves.
Yeah, so when people want to reduce their screen time, always use the six-step formula. So basically step one is to become self-aware. That's first step, self-awareness. You have to understand how much you use your screens. You can use screen time or digital well-being or apps to find out how much you use your screens, and also why you use your screens. What kind of triggers are happening that you go for your phone, like external triggers, like someone is going for his phone, so you go for your phone, or an internal trigger, like you're bored or you're sad or you feel alone. And also you want to basically understand what your current position is. Why is it so important for you to reduce your screen time? It's going to be hard to continue that process because everyone is using their screens. So there's going to be a voice that will tell you, yeah, look, I don't know what you're trying, but everyone is using their screens. You should use your screens because you have to check your email, you have to check the news, you have to check the weather. So what are you trying to do? Why would you reduce your screen time? So you want to beat, you want to fight that voice. And that's why you have to be clear for yourself where you want to go and where you are now. So how is it impacting your relationships, your life, your self-actualization process? And then you have to envision, how does your life look like, that relationship, and how does your phone fit in that relationship, in that life? Mm-hmm. So the clarity is necessary. Basically, self-awareness is always step one in every process when it comes to change. But then step two is always insight. So insight is like an extra layer of motivation, understanding the detrimental effects of excessive phone use, and also why we're so hooked on social media, to understand the psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. You see this perfect world online and you think everyone is seeing that, but no, it's a sophisticated world created by algorithms based on your behavior and interests, your clicks, your views, and social media knows you better than your spouse knows you. So that's why you are the product, not the customer. So all that data that is accumulated, if they know you better than your spouse does, then that data has a lot of value. So that's why it's very dangerous just to use social media mindlessly, because they are trying to monetize your eyeballs. And also, it has a lot of detrimental effects. So I always use the Google dementia example. So what happens, or digital dementia, or Google effect. So basically, you outsource your brain to tech, to social media, to the internet. So now we can always look for answers by Googling it or by asking someone. And we don't really know how to remember or calculate. It's like if I put a robot arm or a robot leg on my leg or my arm, then I become stronger. Yes, there's a benefit to technology. But if I just rely on that technology and I take off the technology, the tech arm or the tech leg, then my leg and my arm is going to be very weak. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we can know answers very fast. But are we still able to contemplate, to reflect, to think, to be creative? If we outsource our brain so much, we become good at being distracted. Because we do that thing a lot. We become distracted, so our brain is telling itself, okay, well, he or she wants to be distracted a lot, so let's help him out. Because the brain doesn't know what's good or bad for you. It just adapts. Mm-hmm. That's why you want to know about these effects. And so that's why step two is insights. So step three is digital citizenship. People complain about their phones, but do they want to use feature phones? Do they want to use dumb phones or flip phones? Not really. So I always say, embrace your phone. If you want to use your smartphone, know your phone. That's why I have an iPhone course that explains how to transform your iPhone from an enemy into an ally. So do you know about Do Not Disturb? Do you know about notifications? Do you know about dark mode, auto lock, night shift? Do you know about the grayscale? Or what about the privacy settings and the security settings? And also on social media as well. Do you know that YouTube has a reminder option that can tell you, hey, stop using YouTube? Do you know that you can disable the active status on Facebook? Do you know about the privacy settings and security settings? So you want to know about that. You don't need to be necessarily tech savvy if that you have to know everything, but just be aware how they work so you can use them as a way that will enhance your life. Mm-hmm. Also, that step is all about understanding that you leave a digital footprint behind, digital reputation. The internet remembers. Whatever you do, internet will remember. So you want to learn how to behave, follow specific internet etiquette, understanding that you shouldn't just post any information. If you post a photo, people can use that photo, place it in Google image search, and then people can find out where that photo was taken. So that's why you want to be careful what you share. You want to be careful with fake news, with deep fakes as well. Now it becomes harder to understand what's real, what's not real. You want to understand the dangers, like flaming, like raping, like cyberbullying, slut shaming, catfishing, all these phenomena that are happening. You want to become aware of it. So that's digital citizenship, understanding tech. Then step four is about screen habits. So then with all that knowledge, you're going to now create a plan for yourself or with your family of, okay, when are screens allowed? When am I going to enable Do Not Disturb? When am I going to disable notifications? Which ones? How long can I use my screen? We should introduce the no phone zone rule, for example. I always say when a specific activity happens, introduce the no phone zone rule. So when you're going to watch a movie with your spouse, that area becomes a no phone zone. If you're going to eat, the dining area becomes a no phone zone. When you're going to sleep, that area becomes a no phone zone. So set that up. Set a phone lounge. So when an area becomes a no phone zone, know where you're going to leave your phone, because there's always a discussion. If you don't know where you're going to leave your phone, you're going to have a discussion. Okay, can I at least have my phone maybe like 1 meter away or just here next to me or behind me? No, it has to be somewhere. Like, it should not be a debate.
Yeah.
Or people talk about digital detox. And I say, you know, people are sometimes frustrated and they say, I want to quit. I want to reduce my screen time. I want to introduce like a digital detox for myself for 1 week. And I say, you're emotional. It's just a fleeting moment. Probably tomorrow you will just use your social media accounts. So start small. Just try to not use your phone for 1 hour, like no tech hour every single day. If you can't do that, then introduce a no tech Tuesday, for example, or just no tech evening. Just one evening of no phones, one day. So start small. You can also use plugins, for example, for your laptop. So there's a YouTube plugin that enables you not to see recommended videos or the homepage is blank. Same applies to Facebook. There's a plugin where you do not see the newsfeed. You just see a motivational quote. That's it. That's all you see. So there are a lot of ways to introduce these boundaries. Mm-hmm. For example, counter triggers. There you always constantly trigger to go for your phone. So introduce a counter trigger. Place a wallpaper that says, don't touch me, or lock me again. Like, or what are you doing? Some wallpaper or a person that motivates you, that basically is telling you, hey, don't go for your phone. Someone meaningful, someone you love. A photo. Or get an ugly, eccentric phone case. That's something I recommended like last time. Just get yourself like an ugly phone case that reminds you, okay, why is that phone case there? Ah, yeah, okay, I have to be mindful of my phone use. So basically, when you see that counter trigger, you again have to think, okay, is it okay to go for my phone? And if the answer is yes, then that's fine, as long as you do it mindfully and consciously. Mm-hmm. That's basically screen habits. That's step four. Step five is embrace life. So that's all about activities. So the whole focus is not to push your phone away because you're still looking at your phone. The focus is on your phone, but you want to be pulled by something that pulls you away from your phone, that makes you like, you know, turn around so you can place your energy and focus on that other activity. So embrace life is all about finding different activities or just, you know, get together, enjoy the offline world. And nowadays, the online world, offline world in the house. And I always talk about board games, for example. Every single time I talk about board games, because there's so many benefits. It's not connected to screens, and when you immerse yourself in that story of the board game, you just don't even know how to spell Facebook. You don't even think about it. And you can talk about experience. You know, sometimes you're the protagonist, antagonist, and you have this beautiful story that's going on. You have to strategize. You have to cooperate. You are communicating. So there's a lot of benefits in terms of communication and cognition. So that's why board gaming, because of the pandemic, I recommend it a lot. There are a lot of board games, not just Clue and Stratego and Chess. There's a lot of board games. So that's basically step five. And then step six is a big one, is embrace thyself. So it's all about basically what you said, self-development, adulting, what I said as well earlier, being conscious of your mortality. It's all about increasing and improving your self-confidence, keeping the small promises to yourself. It's basically you have to improve the story you tell yourself about yourself when you're by yourself. So because of social media, we lose our self-confidence, but you want to increase that self-confidence so you become your biggest fan. We don't outsource to other people because it's easy to criticize ourselves, and we constantly do it. The way we talk to ourselves is not the way we talk to other people. But then we outsource being a fan. We outsource that part to other people. So we want for them to be our fan while we should be our biggest fan. So that's what we have to learn. Introspection, mindfulness as well, to understand that between trigger and action, that space that has to become larger and larger and larger. So that freedom of choice is then available to you. So you can decide, do you want to go for your phone or not? Just become more conscious of what you're doing. So that's why that step six, self-development, is vital, keeping the small promises to yourself. And that's a big one. And again, connecting to your topic, adulting, like if you realize that, if you know where you want to go, if you progress and you understand the impact that you can have on the world and the person you can become, then you automatically will not use your phone that much.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. Yeah. That's basically it. Yeah.
So cool. There's so much knowledge in there. If people have been listening to this on tenterhooks, like actually listening to you and being like, oh my God, there's so much more to this. And this is so actually this is exciting. And I want to learn this. I want to learn this for myself. I want to learn this for my family. I want us to create something together. If they want to come and follow you, where is the best place for them to come and find out more or to find out what you can offer and how you can support them?
So you can check me out on socialmediabreakup.com. And if your listeners send an email to me, to johan@socialmediabreakup.com, and they say they've seen me and heard me on Ebony Allard's podcast, then I will send a free link to my iPhone course so they can access it for free.
Thank you. That's really, really lovely of you. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like even I, I'm racking my brains and going, how is my relationship with my phone these days? Because for me, like, you know, it is my phone more than my laptop. Like, I'm actually really good at like using my laptop for work and then putting it down and not, yeah, it's funny. It's those little things. So I use my iPad to play and my laptop for work, and like making that distinction again has like allowed me to like separate. Because I can be, and like so many business owners can get sucked into like, but it's for work. And it's not about, you know, it's not about that. It's just, it's an addiction and you're just sucked into staying there and being productive. And there's so much more we could talk about in that stuff. I will put all the links in the show notes and everything and make sure that that's clear for people so that they know that they can easily come find you.
Excellent.
You end with a little confession with me with an I'm an adult, but.
I'm an adult, but I still have to consciously work on my good habits. So in other words, I'm an adult, but the more I realize, the more I know, the more I realize I don't really know much, you know? So the more I just realize, well, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
So, you know, you become more humble, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you think, well, we're smarter because we're getting older, like wiser, but not necessarily knowledgeable because we just understand, yeah, there's just so much to learn. We just become humble and we become the forever student. So it basically contradicts sometimes with adulting.
Absolutely. I think like that's what most of this podcast is about. Like all of the episodes are like, and that's why for me, it's navigating that line between wildness and responsibility, right? Because that is what adulting is. It's constantly, it's a dance, but of navigating those two lines and those two paths. I'm an adult, but sometimes I want to throw my phone out the window.
Exactly.
It costs me so much. I'm like that.
yes. And it's fine. You know, yeah, exactly. We don't need to be serious all the time. No, exactly. You should be goofy. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been a really, really lovely conversation. And I know that it's going to help so many people.
I hope so. No, thank you, Ebony. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am at Ebony Allard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye. We'll